To Matthew chapter 14 for our reading this morning. Matthew 14. Desire to read the entire chapter.
Eu vă zic, citați și Sfetul Evanghelia po Mateiu iz 14 glave. Sfetul Evanghelia po Mateiu, glava 14.
At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent, and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger, and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came, and took up the body, and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I'll bow before the Lord in prayer.
Our gracious God,
as we pray together that the remembering that this word is a word of truth, records the life of Jesus Christ, his deeds, his words, for our benefit and the furtherance of our faith. And there are many things that we could ask of the Lord, many things that we could bring to him, but he has left us a message and a word that's recorded in the Gospels of what Jesus Christ has done, going everywhere, doing good. And in this particular chapter, we find Jesus making many invitations. And Jesus has an invitation and a request to make of us, each and every one, that each and every brother and sister in Christ would come to him, would long to be in his presence, would draw nearer to him in service, in love, in faith, and that those even outside the fold, those who are wandering and straying in sin, would hear an invitation of a loving Savior who died for your sins, who can set you free from the devil, who can set you free from yourself and give you peace and joy in the truth. It's the message of the Word of God to bring the truth. Yet we see in Herod a man of power and esteem, so typical of the world, and so typical perhaps of us at times, of standing on the fence, maybe having a respect for John the Baptist and his teaching, knowing that what he said was true, but somehow hesitating to do what is right based on what you know is true. And in that very dangerous place of hesitation, a moment of weakness, a moment of testing comes to prove his heart and where his allegiance stood. And he gave in. And he rejected the word from John the Baptist. He rejected the truth that was presented to him, and he wouldn't do what the word asked him. And we see him leaving the story sorry. And that is the state of this world. That is the state of everyone who laughs now. They will weep bitterly for turning away the only one that brought hope and life, Jesus Christ. As he's presented in the word, and as he was announced by John the Baptist as the one who would come, the one that they had waited for, the word, maybe we don't hear John speaking, but we have the word, and it's God's message to us. It's God's words. It's God's truth, and it bears authority. And it also is presented to us as we read it each and every week, each and every day. God speaking to us and giving us direction. God calling us and inviting us. And it is an amazing thing that the Lord, in his power, in all of his ability and wisdom, and knowing how unworthy we are, and how sinful and wicked this world is, and even knowing at times that the world and the people, God's people, Israel, would reject him, he still called and invited anyway. We see Jesus inviting the disciples to bring the fish and the bread. We see Jesus inviting Peter, come on the water, believe on me. We see Jesus coming to the crowds and having compassion and welcoming them and providing for them. And does it make our hearts sad to see that by and large the world, and perhaps we at times, have rejected him? We've turned him away, we've denied him? Such a contrast in the ways of God and the ways of this flesh, the ways of this world. We notice contrasts. We see them readily when we see dark and light. We see shades of bright and dull. We notice these things, and perhaps we could take notice of the difference between God's ways and the ways of this world. The difference between a way of truth that's presented through the scriptures and a world that rejects it to their destruction and to their sorrow. Is it any way to treat our Creator and the one who came to save us with a refusal or a delay for another day? Does it make our hearts sad to know that by and large this is how the God of the universe is treated? And how we, as frail and imperfect men, feel at times we know better. Nonetheless, the invitations go out and Jesus still speaks, though he knew that many would reject him. He still had compassion on them. And he healed their sick as they came out of all the cities. When he went apart, perhaps to pray and relish the time of fellowship with his Father, he was always a servant and made himself available to those who were in need. And he welcomed them in. And as the time was passing, the disciples noticed that the sun was beginning to set. And perhaps through perhaps well-intentioned. They knew that they would need food and it would be perhaps dangerous for them to be traveling at nighttime. So send them away now to the villages to get food. It sounds like a good idea and it seems like there's some wisdom in that. Yet often Jesus has something to teach us. And sometimes our best plans and our greatest wisdom needs to be put on the behind. And Jesus says, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. They say to him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me. When we come into the house of God and we pray for the word to be shared, and the word to touch us and to speak to our needs and direct us, convict us. What is it that Jesus wants us to bring to him? What is it that Jesus wants me to bring to him? Is there anything that I have, that I possess, that I am, that I can enjoy or use, that is off limits? Truly, God is worthy of our praise, of our service, of our obedience, and all the very best things that we can give him. All the very good things, all the very admirable acts of service and obedience. And we should, even as we prayed, zealously yield to the Lord all of our very best. And we rejoice to give God our very best when we have that opportunity and that inspiration comes to share and to give. And there's a joy that comes to our hearts when we do so. But we're not always thinking of everything that we have as very good, as worthy. There are times when we think of what we have as the disciples did. We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's all we have. It's meager. It's small. If someone would see me giving this to the Lord, they would perhaps wonder, what's with him? But Jesus says nonetheless, bring them hither to me. Even the things that are small, even a small amount of faith that is placed in Jesus Christ, he can do something with. But if we would hesitate and say, I need to be a little bit better, I need to do a little bit more before I commit something in trust to the Lord, well, we have to think about that. Look at the multitudes that even in this example, the disciples were told to feed. Even all the money that they had probably couldn't buy enough bread for them all. And how about us, when we desire to give a sacrifice that's well-pleasing, would be fitting of a God who has created us and would be a worthy gift to give? We would be working today and tomorrow and throughout next week and throughout our lives, and we would never really be able to bring him something that is worthy of his great name. And so at some point, there, if we would respond, there will have to be a step in faith and realizing what I have is so small. What I have is so insignificant in comparison to the glory and the power and the truth of God. And so at some point, even today, a step of faith must be taken. That this is what Jesus has asked of me, and though it's small and meager in my estimation, or maybe despised by everyone around me, this is what I have. And I want to yield all of it, holding nothing back. My will, my time, my energies. Whatever I have, meager though it may be, yield it all to the Lord. And see what he will do with it. We may be surprised. But we won't know until we take that step of faith. And so don't let your heart be troubled that you don't have a gift that's big enough or a faith that's strong enough or that maybe you've wasted some time. God can teach you how to redeem the time and perfect that which is lacking in our faith when we give it all to him, and he invites us to do that. Give to him our very best. Give to him the things that are very small. There are some of you that maybe need to take this into a different consideration. This food that they have is good, and it's profitable for the flesh. Something that you can eat, you can benefit from. It's a good thing. But they're dead things. Do you have dead things? Do you have a plant that's been crushed and filtered and soaked and burnt? And do you have a fish that's dead and cooked? Do you have dead things? You need to give those to the Lord too. Not that we would give him a dead or a insufficient sacrifice and say, here, God, here, take this. This is great and this is good enough for you. No. But those of you who are outside of the fold of Jesus Christ, you know that you don't have anything good of yourself to give. All you have are dead things. You have a life of sin. You have filthy rags. And Jesus wants you to bring everything that you have to him. He's come to set us free from the power of death and the power of sin. And he knows what it's like to be despised by this world. He's seen it. You're not going to bring him anything that surprises him. And you're not going to bring him anything that he is not powerful and willing to deal with if we bring it to him with the right heart, knowing that this is not a sacrifice that God is asking for. This is not the way that God wants me to live. And though you are now powerless on your own to do anything with those dead things, there is forgiveness. There is cleansing. Through faith and towards God and repentance towards God, we come to Jesus Christ asking for him to take and to transform us, to make us new, and to give us, in the place of a heart of stone, which is dead, a heart of flesh. That is what you need. Not a little bit less dead fish and a little bit less dead burnt up bread, but to be transformed and to be given the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do we have? What can we offer but ourselves and all that we have? The Apostle Paul said to the Romans that we would give our lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That is a reasonable service towards God, that we would give our lives to him and for him. And allow him to do his work in us with a willing heart. We see that Jesus takes these 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he blesses them, he breaks them, and divides them to the multitude. And he gave it to the disciples to share with the multitude. He calls us at times to take what the Lord blesses and provides and shares with and to share it with others. It is a wonder that he would invite us to participate in the work that he has. And we can all think of the lives of the people that we come in contact with. Is there some precious gift of God that he desires me to share? Some precious word, some precious truth. He invites us to participate with him. Though he could have made all the bread appear in little containers for all the people instantly, he could have done a miracle. He used his disciples. He used those that were willing. He even used those that were slow to learn. Jesus did this twice. Another time later, it really reminds me, as Jesus is inviting us and calling us, we need to respond with faith. Because on our own, we can't do anything. It's only through His strength, only with His power, only with what He provides to us. See, the disciples didn't observe this time and then say next time, hey, Jesus, thank you for, you taught us how to do this. Now we're kind of on our own. We can do this. We can kind of whip up the strength. We can whip up the zeal. We can get each other excited and we can do the right thing. All we just need to do is pray and look up and break it. And no, that's not what happened. They couldn't manufacture a gift of this type. And we can't either. We can't make it up. We need to rely on the Lord. We need to know for sure how small we are, how loving God is to invite us to be a part of His work. All of the miracle was done by Jesus Christ, but He calls us to participate. And all of the credit goes to Jesus Christ, and yet He calls us to participate. He's looking for that willing servant that's willing to hear and to receive. We see in Peter, as he is out on the waves of the sea, an invitation of Jesus Christ to be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And we learn about faith. We see how important it is. As we consider the invitation of Jesus Christ and what He has brought to the disciples, we can consider and think for ourselves about how unstable and unpredictable this world is. It's fleeting promises, it's fleeting pleasures, and by contrast, see Jesus Christ, His kind hand extended to draw us closer to Him in fellowship and ask us, where's your faith? Where's your trust? Where's your love? Bring it all to Jesus. Give it all to Him. He can do great things, and He will do with us as it best pleases Him, and it will best serve in His kingdom. So may we hear the invitation, may we respond, may we give Jesus Christ all of our hearts and lives and all the honor and all the glory that He's due. May He bless His word.